Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, 88.9 FM, and I have David, better known as Skip Wright, with me. And he's president of the St. Francis Valley Naturalist Club, and he's come to talk to us about the next presentation and I guess some other news about the club. So welcome, Skip.
Oh, welcome. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll start off. We'll just start it. We're going to be having our meeting on Wednesday, tomorrow evening, at the Amity Baudouin Community Center.
Okay, that's October 30th. Okay.
At 1900 hours, 7 o'clock. We're going to have, the presenter will be Mary Helen Hache. She will be presenting Breeding Birds of Southern Quebec 25 years later. The question is, where are the birds? Have Quebec bird population really changed over the last 25 years? She will answer this question and a lot of other questions during her presentation of some of the other points from the second Breeding Bird Atlas of Quebec. She was had a lot to do with that.
Oh,
and it's quite a book.
Okay.
It's a really thick book. And if anybody's interested in birds, they should be getting it.
Oh, sure. I can imagine.
It would be a very interesting presentation because we all have the questions. We're seeing less birds in our feeders lately. We don't know if it's just the weather, the cold weather hasn't come in yet, or whatever. The birds from up north haven't come down.
But
I don't know what's going on. But in our last bird count that we did with the Audubon Society, the bird count was up.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So we should, I don't know, we'll see what she has to say. I think it's going to be a very interesting presentation, and everyone is welcome. And I keep on saying we'll come over. Lately, there's been quite a few people coming.
Oh, that's good.
And we have our tea and our coffee. You don't have to pay anything if you don't want to. And it's quite an interesting presentation.
Nice.
Yeah. And we've been fairly busy as a club in the last field outings. A couple of weeks ago, six members visited the Atabibo Club ponds. That's those ponds over in front of the Army and Navy Club.
Oh, okay.
And there's beautiful walkways in there the city has done. And they've even put trout in the pond for fishing.
Oh, nice.
And so it's quite an interesting place. What they did see, there was only six of our members that did that walk, because if I remember right, it was rainy and it was quite a bad morning. But they saw geese and merkinsies, which are fish ducks. But because the summer birds have all migrated south. So we just went for the northern birds to come down.
Okay.
But last week, myself and Gary McCormick and Susan Coles guided 30 students from Millennium Elementary School to Curry's Pond.
Okay.
Now, this was very interesting. And we were treated to seeing hundreds of geese and ducks on the pond right in front of us. And they gave us quite a show, flying right over our heads. And the kids were getting excited.
Yeah.
And the group had a lot of questions about the ponds and birds. And I thought I knew a lot about geese, but when researching them, I quickly found out there was a lot I didn't know, and a lot of other people didn't know either. So this is why I have chosen the Canadian goose as the bird of the month that I'll talk to you about today a little bit. It's very interesting. But there was hundreds of them there. And today, as I went over that way this morning early, there was thousands of snow geese there.
Oh my goodness.
Thousands. The fields were covered in white.
Okay. Well, that pond isn't that big, is it?
No, but in the fields all around it
right.
and up the experimental farm,
it
was quite something to see again. I haven't seen that for a long time. And they were coming in and coming in. As I was going towards Cookshire, you can just see the lines coming in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're on the migration. The snow goose, I'll talk to you a little bit about that. We're seeing more of them around here now because they're eating out their habitat.
Oh.
Around in the up north.
Okay.
And in the St. Lawrence Seaway. The
Ile
aux Grues around in there. They eat eel grass. It's a grass that grows in the mud. If I remember right, 7 inches high about. And they eat it all up. So as we're changing our farming practices, they're starting to eat corn now. And
Interesting.
So that's why they're starting to come this way. They're not following the St. Lawrence Seaway and down south and things like that. But with Canadian goose now, we've all seen them flying in V shapes over top of us during the winter, during the fall. But they fly from north to south due to more long, but the less the flying from north to south. We even met a biologist that a lot of flying from east to west and west to east.
Oh, okay.
And this is due to the there's more lawns, there's change in climate,
mm-hmm.
and farming practices again. We're growing grains and the cereal.
Okay.
So they're staying that way. As long as the water is open, they're staying this way. And they're not going so far down south. And to the point that they're starting to become a pest in a lot of the parks and golf courses and all this. So it's quite interesting. If you do have a lawn that's on a near a lake or waterway, if you don't want to be with the geese in there, you keep the lawns short, and you can even put down like a plastic snow fence on the ground.
Okay.
And they don't like walking on that.
Oh, I see.
So it's interesting. You know, some people are talking like in greens and with the golf courses and that at night and the evening, they could put down this mesh, and they don't like walking on them. So.
Okay.
Hmm. So it's quite interesting there. But there was there's some things I didn't know about them either, that there are at least 11 species of Canada goose that I didn't realize. I thought we only had two, lesser and greater.
But
in general, these geese get smaller as they move northward. I didn't know that either, that the geese from up way up north are not as big as the ones that are staying around. I guess it's the amount of cereal they get and food they get.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they get darker if they go westward. So the geese out west, they're darker than our geese.
Oh, that's really interesting. So, fascinating,
I didn't know that either.
No.
And there's four smallest forms that are now considered as different species, and they're called cackling goose. This is not a new species, but they put a label on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot smaller. And we saw that at Curry's Pond the other day. There was five giant Canadians there, with all the other geese looked like they're about the size as a mallard duck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's and the pond was covered with them, but these five stood out like you won't believe. It's the biggest one I've ever seen of a giant Canadian was 15 pounds.
Oh, that's huge.
Now, that's a huge goose. Like I said, they're not going as far as south, and the northward range shifts has been attributed to farm practices. And I can tell you, the giant Canadian goose has nearly been driven extinct in the early 1900s. Programs to reestablish them to their original range has been very successful, to the point of them, again, becoming pests in certain, like around Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you a little story about the giant Canadians. One day I was fishing in St. Anisette, which is on Lake St. Francis, but on the Ontario border.
Okay.
And the ice was still in the middle of the lake, and we were fishing along the side. And I saw these huge birds, the Canadian geese, but huge ones, coming in over top of the ice towards us to the open water. And these were huge, I'm telling you, big birds. And they came and landed right in front of us. And I noticed that one had an orange collar around his neck.
Oh.
And these birds were tired. Oh. And all of a sudden, over top of the ice again, came a helicopter. And they landed right beside us on the wharf in St. Anisette. And there were biologists from the United States. And they'd been following this flock, leaving Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And on that collar that goose had was a radio transmission.
Oh.
So they didn't get close to it, but they followed them all.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that flock had been flying for 12 hours.
Really?
Nonstop.
That's fascinating.
So no wonder they were tired in front of us. So it was quite interesting to see, I must admit.
It would be.
Yeah,
it's quite the experience.
And another one I didn't know too much. The oldest known wild goose was a female, and it was... it was at least 33 years old.
Oh, okay.
She was tagged in Ohio in 1969, and it was shot in Ontario in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest one I've ever seen that we sent back the band, the leg band, was 15 years.
Okay.
But I've never heard of one in 33 years.
Wow, that's quite old, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite something.
Mm-hmm.
And Now, for spotting birds around the townships, like I say, mm-hmm. a lot of people are not seeing many birds at their feeders, blackbirds, flocks of blackbirds. As usual, we're seeing a lot of eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of eagles and turkeys. And next month should be more interesting. The birds from up north should be coming down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we should be starting to see a lot more at our feeders and that. Mm-hmm. But again, I'll finish by saying that I hope to see a lot of people there tomorrow night
mm-hmm.
and tomorrow evening. Mm-hmm. It should be a very interesting presentation, okay. very professional one.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, you know, we've been lucky lately with our group that we've been having some really good presenters.
Yeah, you have been.
Really
yeah.
high-end
really nice.
Presenters. So
mm-hmm. Very
hope to see everyone there and have a cup of tea together.
Okay, so that's Wednesday, October 30th.
Yeah.
Okay, at 7. Thanks very much, Skip.
Thank you.